And now, Forward with Falk. Join Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen as they navigate their way through the political thicket. Well, Dave, this was a very, very important political week. We had primaries in Washington, D.C., and especially in New York. The New York ones, I think, had national significance. There were a number of important court decisions and more important ones coming this week, but a number of important ones also last week. The joint was jumping.
Yeah. You never knew what was going to happen from day to day.
Well, let's look at the New York primary. Here we had a situation where the interest, everybody's attention was concentrated on three particular races, two incumbents and one open.
Yeah.
And Mamdani endorsed three candidates, two members of the Democratic Socialists of America and one, an ally, former controller of the city, Brad Lander. In one case, he had promised to endorse a guy, the leader of the Hispanic caucus in Congress, but then pulled that agreement and endorsed instead a young woman, never involved in electoral politics before, a legal researcher working for Legal Aid Society, who ran against this guy who controlled an enormous political machine in northern Manhattan and the West Bronx, based in the Dominican community, which in that area is the largest Dominican community in the world. And he got beat. And they all got, all of his candidates won. And two of the candidates won unbelievable, with one won by 30 points, one won by 20 points. It was a stunning victory. And before that, people said, well, he's putting everything on the line and he's going to lose and this is the end of Mamdani. But of course, as things go, he put everything on the line and he won. And it was not the end of Mamdani, just the opposite. It reverberated in other places.
Well, he picked his battles well. He knew where there were vulnerabilities and he knew where he had a candidate. I mean, he didn't, for instance, against Richie Torres, he didn't pick, he didn't endorse anybody against him.
Right.
He at least feathered his nest with things. But on the other hand, he took out people with seniority, which is important.
The argument that about seniority, and this is the argument that the Dominican representative who lost made afterwards. He said, well, and people said about him, you know, he governed because he knew how to govern. He knew how to make deals. And you need to be able to know how to make deals or you don't govern properly. I don't see any deals being made by the Democrats and the Republicans that have benefited any people of the country. Certainly not in any of Trump's terms. The Congress has no significance. Right?
Very little. Well, as long as the Republicans are in charge.
But they are in charge. That's right. Yeah. And they've been in charge for six of the 10 years this fellow was in office. So what's the point of saying, well, I make deals? You didn't make deals. You couldn't make deals.
Well, let me tell you, there are having been a friend of Matt Cartwright, who was on the Appropriations Committee and who lost the last time around. He would talk about the fact that you could do, within your party, you could make deals because there were different committees that would recommend certain spending for certain things. So you might be on one committee, but you needed to get something done that was in the jurisdiction of a different committee. So you would have to make a deal with the Democrat who was in charge of that, you know, the ranking, or the if the Democrats were in charge, the chair of that committee. So those are some kind of deals. But as far as dealing inter-party rather than intra-party, it's what you said for the most part. However, this week we did have an example of a bipartisan bill that went through both the House and the Senate with overwhelming numbers.
But wasn't this the only bill that went through the Congress that way?
Yeah, as far as I can remember.
Because the whole strategy of the Republicans is reconciliation. Don't let the Democrats get involved in the process. That's their whole approach. So what deals are you going to make if you can't be involved in the process? You're not going to make deals.
Right. And this was a housing bill, which has been one of the issues, the affordability issue.
Right. I don't know the details of this bill. I haven't the slightest idea whether this bill makes sense, is good or is bad, so I can't speak about that. But what I do know is the real estate interests, for the most part, the developers' interests, for the most part, are not interested in building affordable housing. So if the housing bill is allegedly going to produce affordable housing, that would go counter to everything they do everywhere else in the country. So I don't see how it would work.
They get interested if there's federal money behind it.
Yeah, right.
But there's not going to be
federal money really behind it. Because what the Republicans believe in is private development. They'll subsidize these guys to make their borrowing costs cheap or their insurance costs cheap or stuff like that. But they're not going to allow them to build houses. After all, they don't renew Section 8 so the tenants have vouchers to pay the rent. They're going to make it so that they'll put up these houses. But what would the rent be? That's the real question. What would the rent be? I can't imagine that the housing bill that the Republicans sponsored met the need of people in Philadelphia or Scranton or New York or any city.
Well, we might not have to worry about it because Donald Trump said he isn't going to sign it.
Right. But wouldn't it become law anyway?
It can become law without his signature. Unless he actually vetoes it. And who knows from day to day what he's going to do. He's been out there trying to hold it hostage to this SAVE Act.
The SAVE Act is to save his ass, right? To keep him from getting impeached.
And would restrict people's ability to vote. But Congress doesn't seem to be going along with that. Even his... his acolytes, they're just about told them we don't have the votes. The Republicans that are in the vulnerable districts don't want to vote for the SAVE Act because they know they'll get chewed up with that. And in the Senate, they can't get, they need 60 votes to kill a filibuster, and they can't get 60 votes.
Mm-hmm.
They barely can get 50 at this point on things. So we'll have to see.
Yes, that was very interesting because Mitch McConnell was in the hospital.
Yes.
And because he was in the hospital, he couldn't vote on the resolution that the Senate passed instructing Trump to stop fighting in Iran.
Right.
If he had been there, he would have voted against that resolution. It would have failed. Because only a handful of Republicans voted.
Yeah. He went after a couple of the Republicans that voted against it. The Louisiana Senator Bill Cassidy.
Right.
With Trump, the absurdities that occur, he went after Dave McCormick, who didn't vote in that. Mm-hmm. And he yelled at him for not voting. And the reason that Dave McCormick didn't vote was that he was in Pennsylvania with President Trump at the Mack truck event where they were touting their business achievements and getting jobs. So he drags he doesn't tell McCormick you can't come. And then he attacks him for not being in Washington.
Fair enough. What's wrong with that?
Well, Trump logic.
Trump logic. That's right.
One day he says, that the liner for the reflecting pool is so tough you can't cut it with a knife. And the next day he's talking about it being cut with a knife.
And he ordered the arrest of 8 people.
Yes. And then...
But wait a minute, let me ask you a question, as long as we're talking about, God, how to approach life. Which is more, 3 or 4?
Well, it depends on who's doing the counting, I guess.
I see. In other words, arithmetic is relative.
It's politically relative.
I see.
It's not scientifically or mathematically relative.
But you know what I'm getting at.
I know what you're getting at. Caroline Leavitt, the press secretary, when the numbers came out about the jobs, started bragging that the unemployment rate was only 4.3%, whereas under Joe Biden, it was a dismal, and that's the word she used, dismal, 3.4%.
Right.
So I guess she figured that 4.3 is more than 3.4, of course, not realizing that when it comes to unemployment, you want the lower number, not the higher number.
Well, she's the communications chief, right? She must know what she's saying.
I don't know. Well, Donald Trump didn't know what he was saying.
He has price drops that he's negotiated of 600%.
Or 1,500%.
Yes, that's right. And he said that many times.
Well, but he also was very disappointed this week. He gave a speech in which he said that the Declaration of Independence mentioned the creator 4 times, but it didn't mention him even once.
He's right. It doesn't.
I'll mark you down for this show that you have said that Donald Trump is right on something. This stuff, it's hard to make up.
You can't make it up. That's right.
The apologists and what have you. It's just...
I don't mean to laugh at this stuff. These guys are not laughing at matters. These are serious, nasty, evil people.
I mean, Trump says he wants this. He wants more disabled people to be out of public view.
He means they should be locked up.
Yeah,
that's really what he means.
Institution. Yeah.
Yeah. If you're in a wheelchair, you shouldn't be out on the sidewalk.
Right. Right. He's got this thing about visuals. He wants things only to look good. Of course, we have Pete Hegseth that has a thing about visuals. He only wants to see white people.
Men, not people, men.
White men. White men.
He's gay. Is he gay?
No, he isn't. But
how do you know?
There are certain members of the Trump cabinet that are, and they won't stand up when comments are made about gay.
Of course not. Of course not. They're despicable all around. They're despicable to themselves. Everything about them is despicable. Meanwhile, getting back to New York, Dami, whose campaign was based on a promise of rent freeze, got the rent freeze this week. All stabilized apartments, and that's a million, had their leases frozen, their rent frozen for 1-year leases and 2-year leases. By a vote of an independent government agency called the Rent Guidelines Board, which has the authority to set maximum increase amounts. And they set it at 0 and had never before been set for 2-year leases at 0. So Mamdani campaigned on it and he produced it. He's got a record of producing a lot of what he promised that Cuomo said he couldn't do, would never be able to get done. He got it done.
Well, the next thing on the agenda is the free transportation.
The free transportation.
For free buses, yeah.
That's right. He's got the stores already in planning, and he's got the childcare. That's been done. That's already in the works. So it's quite a remarkable achievement for 6 months in a situation where he doesn't control the majority of the assembly. With the state assembly has to approve a lot of the money that he's counted on, but he got the money. Meanwhile, in the primary, his candidates in the state assembly, he had eight candidates, seven got elected. So the left wing, which is in the Democratic Party in the New York State, is on a roll. And the same thing has happened in Washington, D.C., where this 38-year-old councilwoman, Janice Lewis-George, was elected in the primary to be the next mayor. She got more votes than any candidate in the primary got in the last 20 years for any office. So that means something.
That all well, means certainly something. The energy is in that part of the party.
That's right.
The question is, can it sell anywhere besides those big liberal cities? And
that's... Trump was quoted somewhere. I read this week. He made a comment to the guy who Scaramucci, Anthony Scaramucci, who lasted the Mooch, who lasted 11 days as his communications director or whatever he was. Right. He told the Mooch, he says, "You guys on Wall Street are dopey." He says, "You are all fiscally conservative and socially liberal. My base is socially conservative and fiscally liberal." Now, what did he mean by that? I think he had something there. What he was really saying in that comment was his base is fundamentally racist. And that's what he means by socially conservative. And when he says fiscally liberal, he means they're interested in affordability. They're interested in bread and butter issues. And if you're interested in bread and butter issues and you get seduced by racism and racism doesn't bring you the bread and butter that you need, some percentage of that base is going to split off. It's happened everywhere in the world.
Well, you know, this isn't the first time that we had this.
No,
we've talked about the New Deal Democrats from the South.
Yes, exactly.
That was the prototype of social conservatism, meaning racism. And economic liberalism.
That's right. That's right. Populism is exactly that. It's racism based with a working class appeal, with working class economic demands. That's what populism in America is, probably in the rest of the world as well. Definitely in America. It's anti-socialist welfare statism. But you need somebody to blame. So you blame blacks, immigrants, whoever is the minority in your area. That's what it is.
There was a respite from that during the 60s with under LBJ, the Great Society, where he got both things through. He got socially liberal and economic liberalism through. But
that was on the heels of the Civil Rights Movement and the anti-war movement.
Right.
That
turned around very quickly with Richard Nixon exploiting that. And George Wallace. Being the guy that really showed the way with the South. So we had those things. You know, locally we have a split in the Democratic Party here in Lackawanna County.
Is that bad or good?
It can't be good. The party chairman, the controversial party chairman of Chris Patrick, who has been under a lot of criticism for really doing nothing, has decided that he isn't going to run again. Last time he said he wasn't going to. And they have an election coming up in 2 weeks, and they have new committee people. They have new committee people. And he sent a letter out to 76 of the new committee people, including some I know.
How much of the committee is that?
Well, it's about a quarter of the committee.
Uh-huh.
And including Kyle Donahue, who's one of the state reps, saying that you are off the committee because you did not support the Democrat in the last round of primaries.
What do you mean? He didn't endorse the Lackawanna committee endorses in the primary?
They had a candidate, Tom Welby, and Chris Cappellini ran against him as an independent, and it was like if you either endorsed him or you signed his petition, you're going against the party. And then for the clerk of judicial records, Colleen Garrity ran as a quote unquote independent Democrat. She'd been one of the key people in Matt Cartwright's office because she thought that the person who had been appointed by the Democrats had was not a true Democrat, that she was in fact a MAGA person who had gone to the Capitol on January 6th.
But, was that true? Had she actually done that?
Yeah, from what I understand, that's true.
Yeah.
But
well, I mean, is there any one that there's something weird here. The Democrats have a primary.
Yeah.
But if you take sides in the primary that doesn't happen to be the side of the leadership of the Democrats, you can't be in the leadership of the party. That's what they're saying?
Well, that's what they're saying. If they, particularly if the others are not running as Democrats.
But if they're running in the primary, they're running as Democrats. They're running in the Democratic primary.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Cappellini, actually, Cappellini wasn't a primary. I believe it was a special election.
Uh-huh.
He ran as an independent
uh-huh.
and didn't win. The other was a primary with Colleen Garrity. So we'll just have to see.
But I mean, that is what puts the Democratic Party or any group that runs that way in disrepute.
Republicans had the same problem down in Cumberland County.
But they're in disrepute.
Yeah. This is why people want to be independent and not party.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what label it is. They just don't like this kind of politics.
And why would anybody like that kind of politics? I mean, if you're not going to have a primary, if you're not going to have a contest, that's one thing. But if you're going to have a contest, shouldn't it be open to everybody? Why is it only open to me? That's what Patrick is saying, right?
Yeah, yeah. And he's saying we have bylaws and we're just adhering to the bylaws.
Ah, yeah, of course. So, wonderful. Process. Yeah,
but there's not a lot of time because of the election's in 2 weeks. So I don't know.
But wait a minute. Didn't the Republicans have exactly the same situation someplace else in Pennsylvania?
In Cumberland County.
Yeah, and they took it to court, and the court said that the Republicans couldn't do it, right?
Right. They said, if people are elected, you can't undo it by party rules. So we'll have to see. But the parties are private organizations.
Well, it's a private organization. That's true. But, you know, private clubs are private organizations. If you're involved in public accommodation, so to speak, you're not really private. And even if you're private, you know, if you claim to be a Democratic, I'm speaking now small d, organization, an organization that weighs policy, does the best for logic and evidence and balances interests and what have you, you can't be tipping the scale. If you tip the scale, then you're not what you say you are, right? An honest salesman doesn't put his finger on the scale.
That's true. That's true. Right. So we have that. This coming week is going to be a big week because we're going to find out if a lot of people are or are not U.S. citizens.
That's right.
This last week there was a decision that affects a lot of Haitians and Syrian refugees. And ironically, the people in Ohio, the Republicans in Ohio, are not happy with it. The city of Springfield that's where they were supposed to be eating cats and dogs.
Yeah, yeah.
But they rely on these workers. And it's not just in Ohio. You have hospitals and agriculture and businesses in the food industry that rely on these workers. And, this administration, I'm sure, is going to, with the Haitians especially, being people of color, going to work quickly to move them out of the country.
So does that mean that Stephen Miller is going to go to work as a healthcare specialist? He's going to empty bedpans?
Not in your life.
No.
Not in your life. But he doesn't care. He'll only care if his bedpan can't get changed.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But he doesn't figure on that. But we have the case, the citizenship question, birthright.
Birthright citizenship, yeah.
And then we have the second one is the election, where whether or not ballots that are cast on or before election day but are not received after can be counted.
What's happening with the post office? Are they going to deliver absentee ballots? I read that they weren't going to do that.
Yeah, well, they said they were going to, but then there was a court order this week that said you can't do that. But that's going to work its way up to the appeals courts and ultimately to the Supreme Court, and we'll have to see on that.
What's your prediction on birthright citizenship?
I think birthright citizenship holds. The election one. Now there could be some concurring opinions that try to split things. I'm pretty certain that neither Alito nor Thomas is going to go along with it.
Of course not.
But beyond that, I don't think Coney Barrett or Kavanaugh is going to see that happening. But you don't know, because they've been towing the line. And interesting, the court watchers have said Chief Justice Roberts has not written an opinion in over a month on the court. So they figure he has been the one that's going to be writing on at least one or perhaps two of these decisions. I would think that the one he's going to be writing about important is going to be the voting one, because that's his life interest in preventing people to vote. Whether he has a majority or a plurality, we'll see, because it could come down several different ways on that. They can say that the votes don't count at all, or that they have to be counted within a certain period of time, that kind of thing. But they run into the conundrum. A lot of places where people vote in person on election day, their votes aren't counted till afterwards. So why should you discriminate against people who mail in and military in particular?
Right.
So we have those two cases coming up.
All right. And, well, our time has come up.
Well, we do have the 4th of July this week.
We do.
Yeah. And so that's a celebration, and we could talk about that next week.
Okay.
Because the founders are, in many ways, I think, rolling over in their graves.
All right. See you next week.
We'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Forward with Falk. Longtime Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen discuss politics. Join them again next week, same time, same place.